Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to the Acts of the Apostles, although we haven't yet begun to actually study the words and what is said in this wonderful book. And that's because we're wanting to tell you why I like to study with you this particular book. I feel it's a book for today. Last week, we thought of how the world looked on the Christians back in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. They thought they were fools, thought they were mad, they thought they were unlearned and preached a silly message. That's about what the world thinks of us today. On the Lord's Day morning, the minister here was mentioning the open air that took place on Saturday in Enniskillen. And he noticed that those who passed by and who wanted no part in the open-air meeting sneered and laughed and spoke amongst themselves and made jokes about the open-air. Well, that's what was thought of God's servants and God's people back in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. I can remember when I first would have held meetings in the Diamond in Enniskillen, you wouldn't have got that reaction. Oh, there were people who didn't share in your views of God and the Bible, but they didn't show it. They didn't openly mock, as is the case today. That's what we were thinking about last week. Now, today, I want to think about the darkness that there was back in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. Darkness amongst the nations of the world. The world into which the Lord had sent his apostles to bring the light, to bring the gospel, and to turn men from darkness to light. And we're looking at these matters, as I said, because I believe the world is in its attitude coming back to what it was back in the Acts of the Apostles. You see, under the gospel influence over the period from the days of the apostles, 2,000 years ago, the world felt the power of the gospel. And many, many nations were wonderfully changed by the influence of the gospel. We know the change there was in the Philippian jailer. We know the change there was in the Ethiopian eunuch. We know the change there was in Saul of Tarsus. Well, that happened over the last 2,000 years to millions of people. And that change was felt in the village they lived in the town they lived in the city they lived in the nation they lived in. And over those years, there was a regard for the Word of God. It changed laws. Here in the United Kingdom, laws were introduced by godly men in Parliament, laws that were in keeping with the Bible. But they're throwing out those laws now. Those who are in Parliament today are not godly men, by and large. And they're throwing out the laws that were based upon the Bible. And they're bringing in the laws born of darkness and ignorance, like the darkness there was when the apostles went out into a world that knew not God. There's something I want you to learn. You can learn, boys and girls, what lies ahead of us by looking back. Now, that sounds a contradiction. How can I see what's in front of me by looking behind me? Well, the answer is very simple. The Bible says what has been will happen again. There's no new thing under heaven. Everything that is likely to take place has already taken place. So if we look back at how the world was, we learn what the world will become. You know, that's the privilege of the Christian. Out there, people don't know what's happening. The Prime Minister doesn't know what's happening. They're lost. But not us who have the Bible. Because the Bible tells us what it is that will come. And it says what will come upon the world is what the world has in the past been before the gospel came. So, that's why we're studying the Acts of the Apostles. The world is going to be, once again, dominated by darkness and ignorance. When you come into school the first day, it's very likely you didn't realize that 10 times 12 was 120. You didn't know that. You didn't know how to spell ecumenical. You didn't know that. But then you had come to school to learn. You'd come to school to have the lack of knowledge done away with, and your wee head filled with all sorts of knowledge. Well, that's the process that's taking place in your life. Every year you become a little more knowledgeable. But the world is going in the opposite direction. It's putting away knowledge. It's putting away understanding. Paul the Apostle, on one occasion, came to the city of Athens in Greece. It was, and is still looked upon, as the very capital of learning. During the Grecian period of world history, there were great philosophers, and they still quote them, men like Aristotle. And plenty out through the world that they just worship what this man said. And he was a very intelligent man, but he was in darkness concerning God. When Paul was in Athens, he preached in an open air. And there were those who listened to him, and they said, what is he talking about? We've never heard this sort of stuff before. Come on up to Mars Hill, which was the sort of debating chamber of the city, where people gathered to hear speakers and notions and views set forth. Come on up and give us more of this message you're preaching. So it says in Acts chapter 17, you older one can see it, Acts chapter 17, the verses 22 and 23. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, as I said, that was the center of learning at that time, as far as man's learning was concerned, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, your religious activities, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. So the men of Athens, with all their learning, were acknowledging something. We don't know God. We know there's somebody out there who is God, but we don't know him. But we want to recognize him, so we've built this altar and we've put on it, to the unknown God. God was a stranger, and they were strangers to God. That's what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, how that before they were converted to Christ, they were strangers. We have a lovely hymn. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. So back in those days, when the apostles went out to preach to the world didn't know God. He was a stranger. They couldn't put a name on him. How often have you said, maybe somebody calls at your house, who's that? What do they call that person? They're a stranger to you. Or you look out your window of your home and you see someone passing and, who's that? That's a stranger. You don't know their name. Well, that's how it was with these men and with the world at that time. They didn't know God. And today we see more and more that that is the case. If I might mention that open air on Saturday past, people going past, sneering, laughing, showing their opposition. They did that because they didn't know God. They didn't know that what was being preached was the word of God. It was what God had to say to men. God is a stranger to them, and they didn't recognize his message. That's going to become more and more and more the case. You'll see that Paul said of these Athenians, ye are too superstitious. That is, they were full of religion, but it was religion of their own making. Many's a time when talking to someone, witnessing to them, and telling them the gospel, I have had that person say to me, but I think, and they would just tell you something that they believed that wasn't in keeping with the Bible at all. Something that they had thought up, they had imagined. And that's how it is with the world today. They don't know God, and they have religious notions that are not according to the Bible. Listen to me. You have got to form an opinion of God as he revealed himself. If somebody came to you and said, "My name is John," you wouldn't turn around and say, "Oh, I don't know you by that name. I'm going to call you Jacob or Joe. I'm not going to call you by the name you have given." That's what people do today. God reveals himself, but they say, "I don't accept that. I have my own views as to who you are." And that's how it was in the city of Athens. They were full of religion. They had altars of all sorts. But their religious views was of their own invention. And that's what's happening today in the world. People have religious views that are contrary to the Bible. And that's what you're going to face more and more. That's why I feel I'm led to this study, boys and girls. God wants you to know what you're going to face. And let me tell you, there's not many boys and girls in this world today who have that privilege. There's not many boys and girls taught what it is they likely will encounter in days to come. That's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. They had on their altar the unknown God. God wasn't known to them. They could only guess as to what God was like. And man always, always guesses wrong. He's always wrong. And the views he forms of God are not in the least correct. You'll notice there's idolatry mentioned here. They had all sorts of altars to all sorts of gods, and they worshipped these gods. I'm sure many of the altars had little statues of the god that they worshipped. They made these statues out of their own heads, as they say, their own imagination. Here's what I think God looks like, and so they made this statue. Nonsense. It always has been a problem with man, and yet God shows in the Bible how foolish it is. In Isaiah 44, verses 17 to 19, I'll not quote it. God told the prophet to speak against idolatry. Because you see, back then, and it's still the same, God says how stupid it is to go into the forest, cut down a tree, take a section of that tree trunk, and carve an image, and set up that image and say, "This is my God." Bow down to it. And then take the rest of the tree that has been cut down and light a fire with it and cook your food. So you turn to ashes, what's left of the tree, out of which they had made a god. How stupid that is, to think that that bit of the tree that they carved into an image was God. But the rest of the tree, they could burn in the fire, produce a little heat, and then it's ashes. And God says that is the height of stupidity. The world, when it comes to religious matters, utterly stupid, acting in the most foolish fashion altogether. You know, one of the dominating religions of today is that of the Muslim. It's beginning to dominate the United Kingdom. It's beginning to dominate our country here. And you can see in society a growing regard, reverence toward it. Laws have been changed. You're not to call this religion stupid and foolish, as once every pulpit declared. Oh no, you're not allowed to say that now. And even what I'm telling you now is likely contrary to the law, and I could possibly be taken up and brought to court for saying that Islam is a stupid religion. The motto of the Muslim is, "Allah is God, and Muhammad is his prophet." Well, there's no such person as Allah. So how stupid is the one who says, "This person that doesn't exist is my God." And as for Muhammad, he was a wicked man. A wicked man. whose teaching resulted in great wickedness and cruelty. That's the religion of the Muslim. And history shows that's the case. I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before and which has been demonstrated amongst the nations by Muslims in the past. But today, the nations of the earth are so blinded and stupid that they are beginning to recognize more and more the Muslim faith, thinking it's right when all the time it's foolish beyond measure. Man is grossly ignorant about God. Boys and girls, do you know God? Do you know God? What did we sing this morning? We serve a risen Saviour. That's the testimony of the Christian. We work for, we worship, we obey, we walk with and keep company with the Lord Jesus. Do you know him as your Saviour? The chances are I can say to you, your mother knows him. Talk to him this morning. But do you know him? Or are you yet a stranger to grace and to God? Are you yet in the darkness that covers the earth generally? The light of the gospel hasn't entered your mind, your heart, your life. Well, may you today heed and obey the gospel. Don't be distracted from the gospel. That's what the devil wants to do. Well, boys and girls, the Lord bless you. I have one other thing I want to say to you, and I'll do that next week by way of introducing our study. Then we'll come to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll begin our study. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask thee to bless your word and the few thoughts that have been set forward today. Thou knowest, Lord, the opposition of darkness, the opposition of ignorance. You know the distractions that the devil and the flesh would seek to work in the hearts of the boys and girls. But may it please you, Lord, today to cause thy word to be remembered. It only takes a seed, Lord. Grant that a seed will be planted, and boys and girls will come to a knowledge of thyself. Bless the school today and all its activities, and each one here, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.